Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. It's a little hard to believe, but this is the 100th episode of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. For the 100th episode, I really want to dive into what is wealth and what does it really mean to grow a wealthy mindset? I had the honor of speaking at WCICon 24 this year, which was held in Orlando. If you're interested in going next year, it's going to be in San Antonio from February 26th to March 1st. Peter Kim, also known as Passive Income MD, was another return speaker this year. He started his presentation by talking about how two other people define wealth. The first was Stuart Butterman, one of the co-founders of Slack, which sold for over $27 billion. On the episode of How I Built This with Guy Raz from July 2018, Guy asked Butterfield, "You are now a billionaire, or at least on paper. Does that eliminate stress in your life? Does that mean everything's set? Everything's taken care of?" Butterman told Raz, "Beyond a certain level of wealth, it doesn't make your life any better." Butterman went on to elaborate on what he considers to be three levels of wealth. Level one, I'm not stressed out about debt. People who no longer worry about their credit card bills or student loans. I think a lot of physicians can relate to this. According to the Education Data Initiative, the average medical school debt for 2023 is $202,453, and that does not include undergraduate or other educational debt. The average medical school graduate owes $250,995 in total student loan debt, and 74% of medical school graduates have educational debt. Many physicians really celebrate the day they pay off their student loan debt. Level two, I don't care what stuff costs in restaurants. It doesn't really matter how much you spend on a particular meal. Interestingly, I think a lot of physicians actually get to level two before they get to level one. The most I've personally spent on a meal was 300 euros per person, which at the time was $308.13 in US dollars. This was to eat at Roots, a three-star Michelin restaurant in Berlin, which my husband and I went to in the summer of 2022. That being said, the most expensive meal I've probably had was at Alinea, a three-star Michelin restaurant in Chicago. It's currently priced at somewhere between $425 and $485 per person, depending on which menu is chosen. I was lucky enough for my sister to treat my husband and I as my graduation gift from graduating from ophthalmology residency in 2014 when I went to Alinea. If she hadn't treated us, I actually would have gone ahead and gone to Alinea with my husband anyways. Since it is relatively hard to get reservations to go, and since I was living in Chicago for my residency, it really seemed an opportunity that I didn't want to miss. I have had other co-residents who also went to Alinea. So imagine even as a resident, I was willing to spend somewhere around $400 per person for the experience of a meal at Alinea. I know that may sound extravagant, but honestly, it was an incredible experience and I would do it again. All that aside, I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I do look at the prices for dishes when I go to a restaurant. While I certainly could pay for any dish, as in I have the money to afford to pay for any specific dish, at least at 99% of the restaurants in the world, there is a certain amount of value that I think I consider to be appropriate. In fact, I probably look even more when someone else is paying, and that comes from having the mindset that I don't want to get an entree that's significantly more expensive than what everyone else is getting. Of course, it somewhat depends on the situation, but imagine going out during an interview or going out with a doctor's meeting with all your colleagues, and you're the only one who orders one of the really expensive dishes and everyone's ordering dishes that are half that price. Now, maybe it really doesn't matter, but this is a place where I kind of don't want to feel like I ordered the most expensive dish. I'm not sure what that says, but I don't want to ever be thought that I'm kind of taking advantage of a situation or taking advantage of whoever's paying. And certainly when I was in residency, as well as fellowship, and even as a new attending, I was very cognizant about the cost of whatever it is I ordered at restaurants. And on to Butterman's level 3. I don't care what a vacation costs. I don't care how expensive the hotel or how much the flight costs. Beyond that, I don't think it really makes any difference. For me personally, travel is my largest expense. It is the largest line item on my spending plan. While I've learned to spend more on travel and worry less about some of the costs associated with travel, I certainly price shop hotels and flights. I really want something that has good value, and I don't want to overspend on a flight if I can get it for less. And with how expensive luxury travel can get, I think I'm a long way off about not caring what a vacation costs. But I do find ways to go wherever I want to go and have the experience I'm looking for, regardless of the cost. I have paid to upgrade to first class, but I don't routinely fly first class. If I'm staying in a luxury hotel or resort, my plan is to relax and enjoy the hotel or resort. If my plan is to spend most of my time out sightseeing, then I usually choose a hotel or accommodation that's comfortable with a good location, but is not necessarily luxury. What do you think about these three levels? Where do you currently fall? How does that match with your perception of wealth? Are you at level 1, level 2, or level 3? Do you agree with me that you were at level 2 before level 1? What do you think it would take to get to level 3? Peter Kim then brought up the definition of wealth as described in the book, The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. The highest form of wealth is the ability to wake up every morning and say, I can do whatever I want today. That's probably why so many of us love vacation. That's the time we associate with doing whatever we want to do. And I think that probably is what sounds like the dream, what most people are striving for. Especially if you consider that what you want to do may be something that comes with a high price tag. Personally, with me working part-time, there are days where I truly can do whatever I want to do, and yet I choose to spend the majority of the day working on things, like this podcast, which I do want to do, but not doing other things that, well, if I'm truly being honest with myself, I might prefer doing. I say this as I'm working on a beautiful day. Part of me wants to go shop for patio furniture so that I can easily work outside. Part of me wants to go hiking and make use of the great weather. But mostly, I'm content to be working at a picnic table in the nearby park. Which brings us to what Peter Kim shared as his own definition of wealth. Wealth is a difference between get to and have to. And that's where right now, I do feel wealthy on most days. What I think is most interesting is that none of these definitions have anything to do with the amount of money someone has, even in terms of how much someone could spend. It's not defined in the typical ways that financial freedom is defined, like having enough passive income to cover life's expenses. It's really about mindset, how you feel about money, and also having a feeling of control over your time and what you do with your time. During another talk at WCCon 24, the speaker, Kate Mangona, asked the audience what they valued more, their time or their money. All hands went up for time, including mine. With money, we can buy our time. We can hire others to do the tasks that don't bring us joy and take up our time. But there is a limit on how much time we can buy back with money. In the end, everyone gets the same amount of time in a day. And it's what we do with that time that counts. What are you doing with your time? What do you wish you were doing with your time? How much of your time do you spend doing things that you get to do instead of what you have to do? And yes, while money can help in creating more time, it's not necessarily a certain amount of money that actually creates wealth in your life. I hope with these 100 episodes of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast that you are growing your wealthy mindset and growing not only your financial wealth and increasing your net worth, but also growing wealth in your mind, being able to spend money on the things that you value, being able to travel if that's what you want to do, being able to wake up and do whatever you want with your day, and spending your life doing things that you get to do, that you want to do, instead of filling your life with things that you have to do. Thank you so much for being a listener of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. I would love if you could share the message of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast with your friends and colleagues. You could screenshot this episode and share it in your social media, Or just tell someone that you really recommend listening to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. It really also helps if you could leave a 5-star review with your podcast app or with Apple Podcasts. I would like to reach as many ears as possible so that all physicians can really live a wealthy life. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could share it with your friends and colleagues. And now for the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial planner, accountant, or attorney, and nothing I say should be construed as professional investment, tax, or legal advice. This show is primarily for your education and entertainment. I am a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please contact your own physician. Thank you.